Psalm 88. A cry from a person who's about to die, shunned by friend and foe, feeling utterly deserted by God, the psalmist is desperate. Note the absence of any confession of sin in this psalm. Note too that there's no promise of thanks. Don't want to make a, you can't argue from silence, but just note that they're not there, so the focus is somewhere else. It would seem that the psalmist holds little hope that his prayer is going to be answered favourably. That's my reading of it. And that he will escape the clutches. He's praying to escape it, but he doesn't give himself much chance, it looks. So it's, since death is the destiny of all, and since it's not the work of some rival God, then the psalmist wonders if the final revelation of God is one of anger, chaos, fire and terror. Maybe all these nice things about God are ultimately wrong, and that God is actually this, maybe. But he's praying. Well, here it is. Yahweh, my God, by day I plead for your help. By night I cry out in your presence. Let my prayer reach you. Listen to my cry, for my soul is full of misfortune. My life is on the brink of Sheol. He's dying. I'm numbered among those who go down to the pit. I sense that my time is up. I'm relegated among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, like those whom you remember no more. For they're cut off forever from your hand. Absolutely typical. The religion of Israel did not have an insight into life after death. Death is death. That's why they wanted to live a long life. That's why they wanted to have many kids. That's why they wanted to have honor, all these ways that we can live on through our children or our reputation or power or whatever it might be. But they didn't think of life beyond death. Little bits of glimmers of it you can see. We've studied this at another time and I won't go into it all now. But it finally became a public question at the time of the Maccabees, when these martyrs, these young people, many of them martyred for their faith, and they thought, it can't be the end of life. God can't be punishing them with an early life when they've been heroically faithful. So they started to look at their theology and reimagine it. The way you had to reimagine theology in the name of Jesus, time of Jesus. You had to reimagine the whole of the Old Testament. And there's some people around there who don't reimagine the Old Testament and just take it word for word as in stupidity. Don't see it through Jesus' eyes at all. So they end up being back there. Well, this is typical. He's obviously got no hope of an afterlife, has he? And that's normal. You've put me down in the pit. Again, the assumption that God controls everything. So you put me in the pit. In the darkness of the abyss, your wrath lies heavy on me. You overwhelm me with all your waves. You've crushed, caused my complaint, my companions to shun me. Has he got leprosy? What's, I don't know. You've made me a thing of horror to them. I'm shut in so that I can't escape. My eyes grow dim with sorrow. All day long I call on you, Yahweh, straining my hands towards you. It's a beautiful image, isn't it? He's reaching out, wanting to touch God. He can't, but he's still keen to. So it's a wonderful prayer of faith in darkness. Do you work wonders for the dead? Meaning, of course you don't. So why don't you do them for me now while I'm alive? It'll be too late then. Do the shades rise up to praise you? Of course they don't. So if you want praise, you better keep me alive so I can do it. Otherwise you're missing out on all this praise. It's a bargaining thing, eh? Kubler-Ross. Is your kindness acknowledged in the grave? Or your faithfulness in Abaddon, a Hebrew word meaning for destruction? Are your wonders known in the darkness, your saving help in the land of forgetfulness? land of forgetfulness. That gets us a bit back to that beautiful Greek word for truth, aletheia. Lethe is the river of forgetfulness. And we're here, you existed before, but you can't remember it. This is there because you can't, because when you died, you were taken across the Lethe River. So all your prior existence is obliterated from your mind. So you think this is the first time you've been alive because of that Lethe. Well, a in Greek is a negative. So aletheia means not forgotten, not forgetfulness, not obscured, not masked. The truth means when what you are is what is seen. And it's not hidden so that it's forgotten behind some mask, some political speech or some double talk that might go on. So that's a lovely word for truth. Truth meaning what is seen to be. What you hear, what you see is what you get. What you hear is what is being said, and not how can we manipulate the populace to keep them ignorant and get them to vote again for us. The land of forgetfulness. Many texts have that, so I'll just let you look at them. I won't read them for you. Again and again, this is the cry, because it comes out of they don't have that hope in the resurrection that belongs to Christianity. I presume he's praying. And in the morning you'll still be praying. Yahweh, why do you cast me off? Why do you hide your face from me? I've been wretched and sickly since my youth. So this, you know, well, some people have that. They have bad health from childhood. Never got a good go at it. I suffer your terrors. I'm desperate. Your wrath has swept over me. Your dread assaults destroy me. Notice the "your" all the time. Everything's happening to him. Must be coming. What a dreadful image of God it is that's lurking there. Everything that's happened is coming from God. So he's not only abandoned in many ways, but he feels that God must be hating me. Or why is God so angry with me? What have I done wrong? And all those questions that we all ask. Your dread, they surround me like a flood all day long. From all sides they close in on me. You've caused friend and neighbor to shun me. My only companion is darkness. And that's the end of the psalm. It's a very grim psalm. My only companion is darkness. But it's good to have these psalms because there'll be days when you feel like that, I presume. That'll happen, you know, there'll be times, and it's nice to know you're not the only one that's felt like that. You can read this psalm and at least feel that you're in a real place. And he doesn't despair, even though he's on the edge of it, does he? Because he still is reaching out all day to God. So it's a beautiful act of faith, really. And I'll finish with the New Testament here. First letter of Peter, 3:18. Christ suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous. In order to bring you to God, he was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. So here's another insight. And 1 Corinthians 15, a lovely whole chapter on the resurrection of Paul, says, when this perishable body, which this psalm is all about, puts on imperishability, and this mortal body puts on immortality, then the saying that is written will be fulfilled. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? You couldn't sting Jesus. You couldn't kill Jesus. You couldn't take away his life, which is communion with God. And now we know you can't do it to anybody. Death is powerless. And if death is powerless, then why don't we live now, knowing that we will live in communion with God forever?